testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, titled, The Power of His Resurrection. This is part 2 of 2.
The resurrection of Jesus, by the way, is the basis for our resurrection. It's a historical fact. We have presented the evidence in previous studies. They're available online. We're not going to take time to do that this morning. But you have real evidence. It's not like once upon a time, Jesus rose from the dead. It's not like that. We have real evidence. And understanding the implications, we ought to then grasp the importance of the resurrection. And it's not just a resurrection that we need, by the way. Because you realize everybody is going to be resurrected. You don't need just a resurrection because everybody's going to get that. You need the power of His resurrection. Why? Because without the power of His resurrection, then your resurrection is to stand naked without the robe of righteousness clothing you before a great white throne, wherein you will be judged according to your works, which means you're damned. And they will open the books and then open the book called the Book of Life. And in that book, your name missing, you're cast into a lake of fire. So it's not just a resurrection you need. You need the power of His resurrection. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very point of the gospel. He had to die. Without the death of the testator, then the will has no heirs. But in death, He had to shed His blood. Contrary to what some nutty evangelicals like John MacArthur say, He had to shed His blood, and He did. In shedding His blood, He then paid the full price. Being a sinless God the Son, infinite. In death, He paid an infinite price, paying for the sins of the whole world, not just the chosen frozen, like the Calvinists like to teach, with limited atonement. He paid it all, and He paid for the sins of the whole world. Don't change your Bible to meet your Calvinist theology. And the propitiation is for all, but the application is only to those who will believe. But if that's all Jesus had done, even that would have been a waste of time. It's because they laid Him in that tomb, and on the third day, He rose. Amen. Bodily, physically. He wasn't a ghost. Amen. And He rose bodily from the grave, and in so doing declared to the world that He had conquered sin, death, hell, and that grave. And those who believe in Him, He will raise. And that's the very point of the gospel. Go back to verse 1. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, still, beginning at verse 1. And he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So this is the same gospel that Paul received and was saved. How that Christ died for our what? According to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And, read that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see that? It's all or nothing. All or nothing. And when he rose from the grave, he sealed the deal, providing us with salvation. And it's not just some spiritual fairy tale, by the way. And I got to throw this in here. I get some heat from some of the so-called fundamental brethren, because you are to preach this gospel. This is the gospel message you preach. Amen. Don't tweak it. Don't try to pretty it up. And then you're to look at that sinner who is lost, and you're to call on them to repent. Amen. And believe this gospel. Amen. And our churches are being turned into sodomite hellholes right now. Amen. Because those so-called soul winners are out there winning people without calling on them to repent. And so they give a confession of, in their mind, saying, well, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. They'll say, acknowledge that you're a sinner. Oh, yeah, I'll acknowledge I'm a sinner. And you believe this gospel? Yeah, I believe that. And then they're made members of the church. And then over a period of, and it's happened, just look at the Southern Baptist Convention. There are churches that did that back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Now they got a homosexual as a pastor. Down in, what is it, South Carolina. I think it was the church that was the first, the church where the first Southern Baptist president, pastor, now has openly gay marriages in their church. You say, how'd that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. When you preach this head gospel and don't call on people to repent, or you pervert the word by going to a corrupt lexicon, and instead of saying repent means repent, they'll say, well, it's only repent of unbelief. Never found those words in Scripture. And they'll say, well, it doesn't say repent of sins either. Right. It says repent. You don't hack it up. You repent of everything. Amen. And because of that, a lot of people would even say they agree with what they're hearing this morning to an extent. But they're not repentant. And one of the reasons is, I believe that they don't take it seriously as a actual historic event. That it's just something you kind of do on a spiritual, metaphysical level, and it gives you some peace, makes you feel good about yourself, that kind of thing. That's how it's sold. You have preachers preach, say, do you feel down in the dumps? Would you like to feel better about yourself? Then ask Jesus in your heart. Well, that gospel, it could be a Mexican going in your heart. Jesus. Why? Because the only Jesus that can save you, number one, don't ask Jesus in your heart. The Bible never tells you to do that. The Bible says repent and believe the gospel, and the moment you do, Jesus comes in your heart. Well, if you say, oh dear Jesus, come in my heart, you're asking Him to do something that's already happened. So it's not even, and I don't understand that. I've never understood why Christians think they can improve on God's Word. God says, call on men to repent and believe the gospel. No, just if you'd like to feel better about yourself, ask Jesus in your heart. Say this little prayer with me. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And that's what you get when you see Joel Osteen's church and you see all these big mega churches where people, a lot of them, have no qualms with things like abortion and gay marriage and all that stuff. Why? Because there's no repentance. The Gospels and Paul in his epistles document the eyewitnesses. You understand? This is what, if anybody were ever to accuse you of murder, and of course today we have DNA evidence, but that's like an eyewitness. DNA evidence is just an eyewitness. And if you're going to be convicted of a crime, you have to have eyewitnesses. And if there's, it has to be, and of course, like you say, well, what about rape? Well, that's where DNA, you know, they find some kind of evidence. It serves as an eyewitness. Well, in this day, according to where we left off, verse 5 says, and Jesus being rose again, says that he was seen of Cephas. That's Peter. Then of the 12, that means Peter and the rest of them. So this is the second time Peter saw him. Then verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. That means there were 500 plus the 12 who saw the resurrected Jesus. And now, we can't quite put this to the test the way the Corinth church could, but when Paul wrote this, look what he says. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So there have been a handful die, but close to 500 of them still alive. And so the people who got this letter from Paul, they can look you up. Again, knock at the door. Hey, I heard you were at the place there. You saw Jesus when he resurrected. Oh, it was amazing. We saw him. He still had the nail scars. And he offered to let us touch him. And he ate food. And, you know, eyewitnesses. And what you'll find if you look in history, contrary to what all the, you know, the Richard Dawkins and the Sam Harrises and people like that want you to believe, you go back and look, you don't find other eyewitnesses saying, these people are lying. There weren't books from that era, from that day, saying, there's this thing going around about Jesus being resurrected and all these 500 witnesses. We can debunk every one of them. No. Didn't happen. And then you got people like Josephus, who was a Jew, a historian, and he wrote and said, there's this man who is called the Christ, and he rose from the dead. According to eyewitnesses. That's what you find. You got to understand, you watch all these Law and Order or whatever, CSI and all these programs. Well, this is right here. Verse 7 says, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And the reason it says there was 12, the apostles called the 12. Then there were other apostles like Matthias and others who were considered apostles that weren't part of the 12. And then look at verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. That's Paul. Why did he say that? Does anybody know? You want to say? Why did he say that? It says he was last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Why did he say that? Right. And what chapter of Acts do you find that story? Very good. That's why he said that. See how the Bible just fits together? Paul didn't write Acts. Luke did. But the testimony of Paul matches the testimony of Luke in Acts. And when you compare the testimonies, they all match up. This is real. Amen? In closing, I just want to say a couple of things. It is no difficult task, this is a question I get all the time, for the God of this universe to gather the physical remains of the deceased over 6,000 plus years and resurrect them bodily. People ask me, well, what about somebody, you know, like dead, you know, 5,000 years ago? Well, here's the thing. Some of us believe that the Old Testament saints were raised. Because at the end of Matthew, it talks about many of them walking around in the streets of Jerusalem. Amen. So we may not, I don't believe we have to worry about those folks. But what you say, well, what about somebody who died in the year, you know, we'll say 100 AD? What about the apostles? Fine. No problem. Yep. You know, we know that your DNA all has a marker in it. So that human scientists can find something thousands of years old and then using DNA science identify that person. Amen. You don't think God can gather up all that? And I kind of, ever seen this? We had an experiment we did in school one time. We had sand. And in the sand, we put tiny little pieces of metal and we mixed it up. Then we had this really strong magnet. And we held it, and as we approached this little sand bucket, it started going, picking it up. And then we took it and swirled it around a little bit, and it kept picking it up. And you knock it, I'll keep doing it. And eventually you get it all. Well, I think God's bigger than a magnet. Amen. If you have trouble with things like that, your God's too little. Our big God ain't going to have any problem with this. It really summed up in the words of Jesus, Luke 18:27. He said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. And finally, just in closing, He is risen.
Amen.
And He will raise up you and I.
Amen.
I want you to really consider memorizing this passage I'm about to show you. I can't tell you how many times I've been at the death of a loved one or someone that I was ministering to, loved one, person who died. And I've experienced people shaking and trembling and whoa, you know, just almost at their wits' end. Now, if they're not a Christian, I really have trouble giving them a lot of encouragement. If that person who died is a Christian, I can, you know, say, well, they're with the Lord. But if they're not a Christian, it's impossible to really give a lot of encouragement. But if you die in Christ, or you have a loved one who died in Christ and you are saved, this is a memory verse for you. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I've been with people at death, held their hand, and whispered that scripture. The other times where I'd open my Bible and have them read it to me. And all I can tell you is, remember this, because God will use you. You may be at the bedside of a deceased loved one or friend, and the living need your comfort. And if that person who died was saved, this is their comfort. And I have seen the power of God's words sometimes whispered in their ear, and you can see the whole countenance of that person change. From hopelessness, not because there was no hope. See, that's the purpose of this study this morning. Not because there was no hope, but because Christians fail to grasp the hope that we have in the truth of the resurrection. And then they hear the words of Jesus repeated by some preacher, and it's like life coming to them. And it'll be that way for you. It's true. So will your resurrection be to life or eternal death? That's the only question you have for every human being still breathing and alive today. Coming a day when all shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And we know that in this dispensation, the good believe the gospel, repent toward God with faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the evil reject Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, you will be resurrected to life.
Fly away.
yourself. When you walk out that door today, if you have not been living for the Lord the other days of the week, is today going to be the end of that? Is today going to be the day where you walk out that door and you live for the Lord? Is today going to be the day you walk out that door and you start to make some changes that only you and God know need to be made? Is today that day? And the next question is, do you realize it may be the last day you have an opportunity to get things right? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, whether it's the rapture or a car accident or whatever. And as your pastor, I have to tell you, it's insanity to see the world we live on, so many professing Christians not living for the Lord.
Amen.
Wasting your life. Just wasting your life. Amen. If you're not living for the Lord, you're wasting your life.
Yeah.
You're going to stand before the Lord and realize you are a waste of human flesh.
Yeah. Try it.
But today you can change that. Today you can make this the day. I'm going to stop letting other people influence me. I'm going to stop being their little guinea pig, do whatever they want with me. I'm going to start living for the Lord, and I'm going to take a stand when I need to. And that's how Jesus said you prove your love. I mean, I'm glad y'all sing along, but don't just say it. Live it.
Amen.
Love
Amen.
Jesus with your life. Let's sing verse 3.
Tell me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, your sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Come on.
for solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.